Good evening, dear friends. Thank you for making time for our broadcast. You're welcome again. This is Grace Reformed Baptist Church, and we are very pleased to come your way again. And we hope that the Word of God will be of some profit to you. Now, this evening, it is our desire to share with you from God's Word, from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. And I read verses 24 to 27. This is a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. The nature of it is such that I want to read it entirely, and then I would try to draw some lessons from that. So here, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. This parable teaches us that every one of us is a builder. All of us are builders, and it is helpful to think of our lives in that respect. I will explain that a bit more later. But this is after the teaching. This comes to the end. At the end of our Lord's long teaching on what is called the Sermon on the Mount, you know that it starts from chapter 5, and it's very rich. It so touches on many, many precious things that have to do with life. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by a parable, makes reference to that again, which I would touch on that shortly. And it is a very befitting conclusion to this whole teaching, touching on various aspects of life, because then it puts the challenge upon his hearers. It puts the challenge upon them that he is not just interested in dazzling their ears with nice teaching and warm instruction. He was interested, the Savior, he was interested in seeing them respond to what he was teaching. Well, friends, that this is not my concern, but it's helpful to remind people that the Lord is never pleased by simply people who are interested in listening to his word and applauding at it and nodding their head and sometimes even showing in all other forms, in all other ways, that they appreciate it, those things, unless they translate into a real life of obedience and embracing of that which was heard. It is of no profit. And so, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ concludes his parable this way because he would urge his hearers to respond to his message and be profited truly. The Lord Jesus Christ told parables, the Bible tells us, again, so that his teaching would always, aspect of them at least, be hidden from those who are careless. The Lord's teaching has a number of it are quite plain. You can take up your Bible and read, and you can see what it is saying quite clearly. But a number of deep and precious things are also here in the Bible, which the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about them in parables, so that it is only those who have sincere interest in wanting to understand and know and be profited that will understand, so that you cannot take the teachings of the Lord lightly. You cannot come to it superficially. We must come with a truly thoughtful heart's desire to understand and to be instructed. So the Lord told parables so that those who really want to learn will come to him, and he will surely teach them and bring them to the knowledge of the truth. Now, we want to come to this particular parable of our Lord. As I mentioned, it concludes that long teaching, the sermon, usually called the Sermon on the Mount. So listen to it again. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And as I mentioned, this is intended to teach us that every one of us is a builder. And the thought is this, that we are all builders for time and eternity. Our lives are like buildings that we are putting up, and we are building it now, and we will see even greater consequences of that in eternity. How we build is so important. It's like how we are all given a piece of land, and on this land we are asked to build. And we will go through a number of thoughts that the Savior obviously had when he touched on this. But why is our lives compared to building? Our lives are compared to building to show us that our present life is an unfinished one. We build like a builder. When we start building, we keep going on, and until the roof and other things are in place, so in order to make the building such that people could live in, we have not completed the building. You know that in our country here in Ghana, uncompleted structures are everywhere, and we often warn that they become hideouts for criminals, so that it's not an advisable thing. But anyway, sometimes it's not easy to complete a building. But this is the parable. The parable compares our lives to building. We are all building because our lives now will have to go on as long as we have our breath. We are building this life. It will only end when this life is over. And then it lands us all before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our lives are also compared to building because how we build, the kind of building we are putting up, ultimately becomes the shelter of our souls. By that we mean this, that however we put up our lives, by the way we live our lives, we are laying up a house, a storehouse, or a home for our souls, or we are storing up for ourselves a place of ruin for ourselves. And so our lives are like a building, and we are building. Again, it is compared to building so that we are made to realize how great a responsibility it is. We all know that building is not a small thing. It requires so much care, and so much investment, and so much labor. And so it is with our lives, my dear friends. Our lives are compared to building so that we never trifle with it. We never think it is simply live anyhow, do any things anyhow, and go where you choose, and just enjoy yourself, and at the end of the day, everything will work out fine. No, it's never like this. Our lives are like buildings, all of us, because it is a big responsibility. It is a big task before God. It has eternity hung upon it. How we live will determine what our eternal future will be like. And then also, you see, it is also a big task because we are compelled to build. We don't choose to build. We are builders. We are engaged in building. By the way we live our lives, we are building. And no one can build for his friend. You cannot build for your children. Your children cannot build for you. You cannot build for your friends. Nowadays, in physical buildings, somebody overseas can send down money and will have people to do the work for him. But you cannot do with this precious, different kind of building the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about, that you cannot let somebody build for you. Others can influence the way you build. You may influence the way others build, but you cannot build for them, neither can they build for you. And so the Savior compares our lives to building, because this is an enormous task. And my dear friends, this is why we want to pause to think. Do you take life seriously? You know, it is a building because we are all pursuing things. We are all running after things. And where would they lead us? The kind of things that fill my heart and mind. Where are they leading me? My earnest interest, the kind of things that my heart is into, where are they leading me? Is it a serious matter? If it brings me before God, what would be my state before Him? How would God have to deal with me? My dear friends, life is not fun. Life is serious. We are thankful that by the mercy of God, there are many light paths to life. But life is essentially serious because it has eternity, everlasting hope, or everlasting destruction hanging right upon it. And the Lord Jesus Christ picks up this picture for us that we are like builders. Listen to the parable again, as I want to pick up another thing. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The second thing that comes to mind is this, that the materials for the building is already here, already provided by God. We are not asked to go elsewhere to get the materials. If you are a reader of the Bible, you remember when the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, wanted to punish the people of Israel. And so he asked them to go and get their own materials, at least part of the materials for the building, because his intention was to make things hard for them. My dear friends, in the mercy of God, by the mercy of God, God has not done that. He's provided the material. So listen to what the Savior said. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, what he does with the sayings of mine, I would picture him, whatever human beings, as it were, divided into two, and what they would do with the sayings of mine would show the kind of builders they are. They are builders, but they are of different kinds. And I will touch on that very soon. Foolish builders and wise builders. But all of them are builders. And all of them are the same material. And the material they are building with is these sayings of mine, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is the thing, whenever the gospel is brought to you, any of you who have had opportunity to hear this gospel, any of you who have had opportunity to read the Bible, to see a Bible, you have here right before your eyes the very materials needed for building. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said, this is the material. It is what you do with it that will determine whether you are a wise builder or a foolish builder. And so the material is these sayings of mine. Specifically, the Lord Jesus Christ has in mind some of the things he has taught during the Sermon on the Mount. It will, you can extend that to other things he would teach later, by all means. But more specifically, it has to do with the things he has just spoken about. And so he says that what you do with these things, he's looking upon his hearers and he's telling them, what you do with these teachings I've given you depends on shows the kind of builder you are. These are the materials, the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, if somebody has no interest in listening to what the Lord Jesus Christ had taught, if somebody has no interest in reading the Bible, if somebody has no interest in listening to a good, truly Christian preaching, you see, the great loss you have, you see the harm you cause yourself, you are even throwing away the materials, you are rejecting the materials so essential to the building of that house, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me draw your attention to at least one or two of the things that he said as an example. Listen to me. I'm reading to you something here. Still in chapter 7, in Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, now listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Enter in at the straight gate, verse 13. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The wonderful teaching about the fact that the way to heaven is that narrow path. It is so specific. It brings us to the Savior. It makes us depend solely, entirely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It is such a narrow path that I go individually and trust myself to the Savior. I look to Him, come to Him with my sins and with how I have lived, and plead for mercy at His Son, putting all my trust in what He did for sinners, because there's the narrow gate, He says, the narrow way that leads to life. Many don't find that, He says. Many. Because, friends, they would not want to listen. And I trust that, friend, you will not be like that. This is part of the teachings. You see, these are the building materials. The Savior is saying, remember, the way to build is a very narrow way, very specific, very pointed. It is Christ alone. You build your life upon Christ alone and what He's taught. And then you will be sure that He will deal kindly with you and bless you. Now, listen to something else that He says here. Verse 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. The Savior is talking about the necessity of a new heart. Unless you are changed within and given a new heart, everything that comes out of you would always be sin, would always be something selfish. Even when you try religion and you go to church and you are involved in church matters and you are even perhaps a preacher and things like this, unless the Savior is giving you a new heart, there will always be a selfish motive. There will always be something within it that is so corrupt and unclean. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can make the heart new and change it and make it such as pleases God. My dear friend, these are the building materials. The Savior is saying, look, unless I make you new, everything that ever comes out from you will be corrupt. Everything, every one of them. We will never be acceptable before God by ourselves. We can never do enough good for us to be accepted by Him. We can never be very religious so as to have God be pleased with us. Never. We only come to the Savior. We throw ourselves upon Him as the only Savior who alone has the righteousness to give to needy sinners. We yield our lives to Him and ask Him to have mercy upon us and to receive us. We put all our trust in what He did. He came down, who is God, and to take our nature and to go to the cross of Calvary to bear upon Himself the punishment that should have fallen upon us, that we, if we put our trust in Him, that means we repent of our sins, feel shame, feel grief, and long to be made new. And we throw ourselves upon His merciful hand, asking Him to wash us and change us. Then He will bless us and change us and make us new. Until He's done that, we can never, ever love God, obey Him, or follow Him. Everything that has to do with religion will always be something selfish, something of my own making, aspect of it that I'm interested in, and I like it, and I want it, and I want to pursue it. It will never be for the Lord. It will never be for Him, and your interest will never be in Him. Friends, I say again, the Savior said, anyone who takes these teachings of mine. So these are the building materials. Would you listen, my dear friends? Would you listen to those and build your life upon this truth?
that I go to the Savior alone as the narrow gate, He Himself, and I desire to be changed within, knowing that unless I'm changed within by His power, I will never ever turn away from a life of sin. I will love disobedience and rebellion, and some hard-heartedness will always stay with me, and I want to live for my own pride and my own interests and my own desires and lusts. I will be ruled by this world. I will be ruled by my own opinions and ideas. I will never submit myself to the Lord in all sincerity. You will never believe in prayer. You will never be a praying person. You will never love His word and want His word to govern you. You wouldn't want that. You may like aspect of His Bible, but you would never want His whole word to govern and rule your life unless He changes you. But dear friends, these are the building blocks. These are the building materials. Would you take it, friends? Would you embrace it? Would you come to the Savior? Would you come to Him as the narrow gate, the narrow gate, the straight way, resting upon Him alone? Would you desire sincerely that He changes you and makes you new? And so, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that these are the materials, friends. So, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. And so, it's what we do with this. Now, another element that comes out of this is this. The Savior says that this is what proves a wise man or a foolish man. Here is the real test for a fool or a wise person. It is what he does. What he does with that teaching of the Lord. Does he take it seriously? Does he see it as the very foundation? Because you see, the Savior says this, that he will compare that person. Any one of us, whether I listen to what he said or I don't, I am compared. I'm put into comparison here, the Lord Jesus Christ. I will be like either a wise man who built his house upon a rock, built upon the rock. The rock is always the foundation, it is implied. And so the one who is wise is that person who strives to find the rock, the foundation. Friends, and it brings us back again to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the foundation. Let me read you a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. Listen to this. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You cannot seek any other foundation. The builder who takes the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ will begin to see that he needs to be built upon Christ. And he's a wise person who discovers this. As a wise person who listens to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I've just mentioned, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it strikes him and he says, oh, what I need is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. What I need is that my life may rest upon Him, that I may throw away all confidence, all trusts, all interests, that there will be no dominating interest in my heart except the Lord Jesus Christ and how I may know Him. You see, my dear friends, and so anyone who listens to these teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's a wise person, if he's truly grasped and understood the teachings of the Lord, will begin to realize that which I need is the Lord Jesus Christ to be the foundation of my life. He that discovers this, our passage says, is the wise person. Do you see? So friends, wisdom isn't acquired in education. Wisdom is not even acquired through life experiences. Not necessarily. Wisdom for an enduring life we're talking about. Yes, we may be wise in how to carry out my particular profession and things like those. But we're talking about wisdom for life. Wisdom for life before God. Wisdom for life that will take us into eternity. Wisdom that will let us at this present be made such a sure-footed person, strong and truly those who know God and walk with Him and prove His power and His love in our lives. Wisdom is given us only by the Lord. And it is that person who discovers that he needs the Lord Jesus Christ alone as his foundation. He recognizes this and comes to him, looks to the Savior alone. He throws away all confidence. Oh, friend, this part is so important. He throws away every confidence, every hope, every anchor he has, he may have put his life upon. And he looks to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The Savior is saying, if you do this, you are a wise person. Oh, but the fool. But the fool doesn't want the foundation. So the Savior says, he's like a builder building on the sand. He has the materials. He knows he needs a foundation, but he chooses, he ignores it. He doesn't want any of that. Digging to find a foundation, he doesn't want to do that. He simply begins to build on the raw soil. It's like the person who is simply building up on opinions all around him, opinions on the internet, opinions that work colleagues are giving him, opinions that are scattered everywhere. He has no grace in the heart. He has no spiritual discernment. What we mean by this is a spiritual understanding, an understanding of life shaped by the Word of God, by which he sifts every idea, every opinion that comes, including his own favorite opinions. Now, he doesn't have this, as he simply goes ahead to build with any idea that seems suitable, any idea that seems likable to him. He builds his life upon that. It's a common idea. Everybody is doing it. If you do it, it brings you money. If you do it, brings you disadvantage, and he wants to follow it. Oh, friends, you cannot build your life like that. A life that would finally end up in the presence of the Lord for the judgment day to determine my eternal future. You cannot do that. You cannot do that, to simply build according to ideas of mere men who would die. No, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself has come, and he himself is giving us the materials for the building. And he says, once I grasp the truth about him, about building a life, I will realize I need a foundation, and that foundation is himself alone. Friends, this is why we tell people, when you are reading your Bible and you are not discovering the Lord Jesus Christ there, you are not reading properly. You must find him here and your need of him. And then the foolish builder ignores all that. And he wants to go ahead and build. Oh, my dear friend, can I gently ask you, are you a fool or a wise person? Are you building according to that which the Savior has given us? Have you felt your need of him? Have you felt your sin, how unsafe you are? Have you felt so insufficient, so alarmed that your life is simply ruled by your own opinions and your own interests and drives? Are you not alarmed? You are carrying on. Oh, dear friends, you don't have to do that. Come to the point of realizing how much you need the Savior. He alone is the foundation. We come to him by repentance and we yield our lives to him. We cry to him to wash away our sins and to change us. We come telling what we've done and yielding our whole hearts to him. Friends, our time is rushing on. And let me mention another one. Remember, the passage tells us that every builder's work will be tested. So listen to it. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and built, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You see there was the trial, the rains, the floods, the winds. Life's pressures will come. There will be the temptations of life. My dear friends, the power of sin is one of the mightiest storms. The storms of temptation, taking advantage of our lusts and of our interests, and then to lure us into material things and to give ourselves to the mere pursuit of material things until we ignore God. And our minds are truly filled with material interests, and spiritual things are of no interest to us. Friends, these are storms that come. And then as we grow up, other things will happen, illnesses, losses, needs. Here we are, the whole world grappling with coronavirus. My dear friends, what is it? Here is a storm. It has it not shaken the whole world? But how will we fare? How will we stand? How will we behave ourselves? He that hath come to know the Lord and to yield his life unto, this will be an opportunity to cling to the Lord and to give himself to prayer and to be more careful about his life and conduct. But if you do not know him, then this simply becomes an opportunity to really either be afraid or simply throw yourself further into a life of sin, thinking everything is hopeless and therefore live anyhow. Old age will come, and finally we must face up to death and the judgment. These are the storms that come through life. And if I'm a person who had been built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be found stable and firm, kept by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if I have not done so, I will be so shattered. Our pastor says that, and great was the fall of it. I will so fall. Sin will overwhelm me. Material interests will fill my heart and head. I will never be free from material things and the pride of this life. And I'll become a slave to my own lusts. And then life will simply carry me away. And in times of losses and in times of illnesses will only harden me and make me all the more hopeless until death simply takes me away because I have lived such a pointless life. This should not happen to us, friends. How you build your life, remember, stormy times will come. Whether you are a wise person or a foolish person, that time will prove it. My dear friends, don't let that come and find you wanting. Seek the Savior now and be built upon him. Let's pray together. Our dear Savior, we praise thee that thou art the foundation for our lives. Oh, bring us to thyself. Bring us to seek thee and find thee, and to know what it is to have our hearts changed and fixed upon thee. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much.